Welcome to some teaching others also. And let's go to the book of Genesis. This is a lesson number two in building blocks of your faith. And we'll be in Genesis again. We won't necessarily just keep going through the Bible in this order and these building blocks, but this next building block is essential. And it's right here in Genesis. So this evening, come to Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to begin reading verse 6. We'll read a fair bit of scripture to set the context. This is a very important building block. Building block number 2. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, capital H, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, capital E, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, capital S. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth," and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth," and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Now this is a building block, and it starts with this thought. There's a few connected thoughts about this. And here's what we notice in Genesis chapter 1, is that language starts with God. Now you might want to expand that a little bit. For example, language, that is words and meanings and their uses, start with God. Language starts with God. Language did not evolve. Language, in fact, under the curse, has devolved. It's going backwards. You see, Genesis 1 is a gold mine of language and vocabulary and roots and meanings. And this is the absolute opposite of all that is taught from early school upward. And it's opposite of the instincts of the fallen nature. You see, the fallen nature gravitates and welcomes any teaching that means that man's getting better. And man is advancing, and mankind is more intelligent and smarter and more creative and etc., etc. And that is because the old nature is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You need to literally reprogram your mind if you really want to understand and enjoy the Bible. And I'm very serious. For example, I'm going to direct your attention to a teaching, and First Timothy chapter 6. Many of you know this verse. You probably know where I'm turning, but I think it's important to put in context what we're talking about here when we say that language starts with God. You see, from the early days, even when you're very young, it's put into your mind that language developed. And it's the opposite of truth. The highest, the absolute pinnacle of all of man's ability to communicate and to describe and to enunciate was in the Garden of Eden. And since the day that he was put out of the Garden of Eden, man and woman, humans, mankind, has gone downhill, not uphill. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, now watch, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Now, it says science falsely so called. So, anything that's knowledge is not wrong. The word science literally is knowledge in English. And it's science falsely called. There is a science that is not science. It's not knowledge. And the danger isn't that you might get confused about the boiling temperature of water or something like that. The danger is that it can cause you to err concerning the faith, 1 Timothy 6:21. And a lot of people don't connect those two. It's one whole thought, verse 20 and 21. This is really important. I mean, it really is. You see, when it comes to education, learning, and so-called science and discoveries, when it contradicts clear scripture, now, I'm not talking about obscure scripture. I'm not talking about conjecture or even consideration. When somebody holds a belief or attains a belief or you hear a belief expressed that goes against clear scripture, then you can tell that that is science falsely, so-called, regardless what they think they've discovered. It doesn't matter what they believe or think they've discovered. And so the second thing with this whole thought is not only that language starts with God, but Bible languages and their definitions are according to God. The very first thing that we do with Scripture, the Bible, is we let the Bible define the Bible whenever possible. Okay? God has the right of authorship. Notice our passage. God called it earth. God called it seas. Okay? In our first building block lesson in verse 5, God called the light day, capital D. The darkness he called night. You see, God did. That's opposite. That flies in the face of education. We know that your Old Testament was preserved in Hebrew. That's the dominant primary language of the preserved Old Testament text. We know that the New Testament came along in Greek. We know that then it was translated along the way. And when it was translated, okay, when it went from one language to another, God at every course, according to who was being faithful in the translating, he honored that, and there were some who were not honoring God in it. So it's really simple that way. Let me say this to you. You're sitting there with the Bible that you can read in English, and there is a spirit and there's a way of thinking, a philosophy that would tell you you can't really understand your Bible if you don't go to so-called the original languages. There's just one problem with that. You will never, ever be able to find you a so-called original manuscript, number one. Number two, you will never be able to understand the original Hebrew of the Old Testament like you will be able to understand English. So God in his providence gave you something very special in your Bible, in your King James Bible. That's not an exclusivism, and you're not supposed to, as a believer, go around thinking that you're better because of it. You might be better off in the sense of being able to understand some things very easily and very more clearly. But here's the good thing about it. Bible languages and definitions are according to God. So yes, there are valid sources, but Scripture's first. And then any kind of authorized Scripture and authorized Scripture definitions. You say, well, what do I do about this English thing? Well, I would find some English definitions and a way of looking at English definitions that are associated with the time when your Bible came out 400 years ago. And that leads us to the third thought, okay? Now, here's a third one. Learning institutions generally lift up learning. I know that wasn't super profound, but it was. Learning institutions generally lift up learning. I'd like to read you a passage of Scripture in 2 Timothy 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. Verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Look at this list. They're lovers of self. They're heady. They're high-minded. They have a former God, but deny the power thereof. What is the solution in verse 5? Look at the end of the verse if you're looking, or if you want to mark it down. From such turn away. Now, he doesn't say turn away from learning. He doesn't say turn away from learning sound English. He doesn't say turn away from learning your Bible. Absolutely not. You say, well, how do I learn Old English? The first thing to do is read your Bible and let it define itself. It's amazing how it does. The next thing is to find a source that's true to it. We recommend, of course, many, many people do, the Webster's, the 1828, and some other versions of it, because it even has Scripture as a reference to the definitions. But the point is this, friend. The point is that languages started with God. In the beginning, there was one language. You know, if you've read your Bible, you get to Genesis 11, and you have what's called the Tower of Babel, and then we have God confounding the languages because man was using the language God gave him. Do you see this? You say, well, somebody came across these people, and they could hardly communicate. That's right, it went downhill. Downhill. Oh, no, they just haven't evolved. No, it's the opposite. Have you ever noticed that the English language today, no matter where you live, is far less clear and descriptive than your King James Bible? That King James Bible is so succinctly given to us. And the manner in which it describes things gives you the best understanding with the least amount of words. The clarity, the condensation of it is amazing. And then fourthly, with this building block, these are all the same building block, is let God be true and every man a liar if that man challenges God. Now, you don't have to go around picking fights. You don't have to go around correcting people. There's no need for that. There's absolutely no need for that. There's no need for you to be looking for something like that. But if you want to have a solid Christian foundation, you've got to lay this building block, and this building block is that the language started with God. The words, the meanings, the uses, what they describe, what they define, it started with God. God named the earth. God named the seas. God called those things out there stars. Now, when you get to Genesis later, what you find out, God gave man the privilege of giving names to the land animals and the birds. God let Adam do that. He brought them forward and whatever Adam called it. So God has given man. So see, man takes a privilege that God gives him and turns it into a right and goes beyond what God gave him. God did not give man the right to change language. God did not give man the right to usurp the authority of language over God. I trust that you'll get this down in there. This is something that will challenge what nearly every person, especially in the Western world, has heard in their education from an early age. And there's even a part of human nature that likes to think that man has been getting better. You say, well, the child can't talk, and then they learn. That's not how it started. Adam started full grown. Eve started full grown. And they started with a full vocabulary. And they started with a language that God gave them. And he even gave them the words, the definitions. This thing is from God. And it's a great building block to get hold of.